Good morning, church. What a wonderful day it is to worship our glorious King Jesus together and to listen from God's word. This morning, I am so humbled to have this privilege of sharing the word of God with all of us. I pray may my words be God's words and that he will use these words to transform and turn hearts back to himself. Now, before we look at our passage this morning, I want to tell you a little experience that I've had having lived in both Asia and Australia. When it comes to popular entertainment, living in both continents aren't that much different. We in Asia love movies, we love music just as much as Australians and Americans do. We have everything in Asia, well, 1 or 2 months later after they're released. However, there is one difference, and that is pirated DVDs. Look, I know people in Australia download things just as much as people in Asia, but I'm not kidding you when I tell you that in Asia, we have whole shopping centers dedicated to selling physical pirated DVDs. We have every movie conceivable, from oldest to the latest, every genre, every studio, from Hollywood to Bollywood. It's genuinely part of the modern Asian culture now. I remembered one day I was sick at home and I was waiting for my dad to come home, bringing Sam Raimi's new Spider-Man 3 DVD. It just came out that day. And I was really excited, and he came home, and I saw the plastic bag and the disc inside, and I grabbed it straight out of his hand, put the disc in the player, and I started watching. The movie started, and I knew something was wrong. It was so blurry. It was choppy. Some scenes were cut out. And not just that, this is the worst thing. There were actually more heads on the screen than they were supposed to be on the scene. There were people running around the cinema. This was a camcorder recording, just like this one. It was really bad. I couldn't see my black suit of Spider-Man well enough. Well, my experience changed when I moved to Australia. I still remember the moment I found out of the amount of original DVDs free to borrow in public libraries. Their movies were sharper, they were better, they were fuller. It's too good to be true. There is a massive difference between what is fake and what is real. We experience something similar when we come to Jesus. We realize how fake the things of this world that we've been following all this time, when it's compared to the real deal, and that is God. Today, in light of our mission month, we are going to look at three ways of how the gospel of Jesus is different and better to what is offered by this world full of fake idols. Three ways. The first way is that the gospel is a different news. Today we're looking at Acts chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 18. Would you come with me to verse 18? A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate him. That's Paul. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. In a world full of mute idols and philosophies, Paul's news is that the God-man Jesus died and was raised back to life, offering life everlasting to all those who believe. This concept does not make sense to a world that is so full of idols and so used to idols. In Paul's case, he had to converse with Jews, God-fearing Greeks, and philosophers. Now, just a little background, Epicureanism believes that we individually need to remove every sort of pain in our lives for the ultimate end of worldly pleasure. Stoicism, on the other hand, teaches submission to whatever the nature gives us. So if the nature gives us suffering, we'll submit to that. If nature gives us pleasure, we'll submit to that. There is no difference between pleasure or pain. Now, in this case, the gospel is different. It tells us that God acknowledges the world of suffering that we live in. So he doesn't disregard it as nothing. He knows that there is suffering in this world, and that he himself, as the God-man Jesus, took the very suffering humanity deserves when he dies on the cross, in order that he gives us everlasting life that is so much better than just worldly pleasures. The gospel is in fact so different that we see four different responses in this passage. Some seem to want to go head to head with it, like the philosophers. Some seem to think it's nonsensical or stupid or dumb. Paul was judged as a babbler. Some seem to think that it's just another religion. It's your truth, not my truth. In a world of pluralism, when the gospel is thought just to be as another foreign god, some seem to be intrigued by it in verse 20. Even some treat it as a form of entertainment, just like anyone else in verse 21. If we see our world today as a new and different restrictions are being issued regularly because of COVID-19, we get very different responses, don't we? Some people seem to approve the new rules, and they praise the government for issuing and enforcing these things. Some are more skeptical of authorities because they may undermine the democracy that their countries will build upon. Or maybe something, it's a new world order or something. Whatever it is, you see, there are different responses because almost no one alive right now have seen or had to deal with a pandemic like this before. It is a very different thing. The gospel too is very different. It's very new. No one has heard anything like this before. It's so strange, yet so glorious. The good news is, though, that rather than keeping his 1.5 meters distance from us, God actually dived straight into our hearts, our sick and sinful hearts, to transform us from the inside out. Now, as good as this news of salvation is, how many times have we shared the gospel and get no result? Perhaps we've shared about Jesus to our friends and families around 2 million times, and yet we get rejected 2 million times. I want to encourage you today to not stop. Don't get discouraged. It's natural for them to respond in different ways, because this news of Jesus is so unnatural to them. Don't be tempted to change the gospel just to get the result you want. Some people will want to talk to you about it. Some will reject it as stupid. Some will think it's just another religion. It's your truth, not mine. Some will be intrigued or even entertained. But don't be tempted in changing it. The apostles and the early church didn't change the gospel in their mission. Let's not change the gospel in our mission. Let's keep preaching Christ crucified and resurrected for everlasting life. What we need to do, though, is that we need to pray that people will come to know Jesus. For only God can open up the hearts of people to the gospel. We need God to work. Without him, our words are empty. Without him, no one will be able to believe such a different news, such a strange news, yet glorious news of the resurrected King Jesus. As we continue to walk through the passage, we've seen that the gospel is a different news. But secondly, we want to see that the gospel is different news because it proclaims a different God. Paul reminds us as we continue to walk through this passage that all of us are born as worshipers. In verse 22, if you want to come to me to that verse, Paul observed that the people of Athens are in every way very religious. But this is the problem. What do they worship? What do we worship? In verse 23, Paul points to a particular altar with the inscription, "To an unknown God." They worship what is unknown. But Paul has a better news. The real God is different. The real God can be known. In fact, he has made himself known so we can know him. Who is this God? The passage tells us that this God is uncreated. He's unconfined, uncontained to man-made things. In fact, he is the creator. He is the one who sustains all heaven and earth and everything that is in them. God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't live in temples made by man or served by human hands or as though he needs anything. And yet, he desires all mankind to seek him. He's not far from us like the idols, because in him we live and have our being. He's not an image formed by our imagination. God is so much better than fake idols. He is not created because he is the creator. You see, most of us would think of this life as just a hierarchy of things. Let me tell you what that means. Let's say there is a hierarchy of things. There is grass, and after grass, there are cows because cows eat grass. And then maybe on top of cows, there are humans because humans eat cows. And then maybe even greater than humans, we have angels because, you know, angels don't eat humans, but you get what I'm saying. And then maybe after angels, on the very top, you have God. You see, guys, the truth is God isn't even in this hierarchy of things. He's a completely different being to us. There is only one God. He's not even in competition with creation, let alone fake man-made idols. He is the one true God. There is only one God, and he doesn't need to compete with anything or anyone. I'm a crazy Marvel fan, and sometimes I enjoy DC movies as well, not Disney. In one of my favorite DC movies that I've enjoyed, in the Batman The Dark Knight, in one of the first scenes, we see Batman's enemies were making some sort of a deal in a parking lot. It was a very dark scene, like literally there was no light. And then the next second, some lighting starting to emerge, and we can see Batman coming out of the shadows, and he joined the action. But something interesting, he pulled out a shotgun and he started shooting people. And I thought to myself, this can't be right. Seems weird. And then the next second, the Batmobile, Batman's car, crashed into the scene, and out of that car came a second Batman. And then you see this Batman, he just joined the fight and then he started beating everyone up. And not just that, he knocked out the first Batman. And then you realize the first Batman wasn't even Batman. He was a fake Batman. He was an imposter. He wore a fake mask. He wore a fake cape. He had hockey pads spray painted in black around his body to look like an armor, but it's not an armor. And worst of all, he was using a shotgun. The fake Batman said to the real Batman, "I just wanted to help you. To which the real Batman said, "I don't need your help." You see, we need to recognize that in our world, fake idols often look like the real deal. But they're actually very far from it. You know, idols don't usually look evil. The devil doesn't usually present himself in red capes, red horns, a pitchfork. A few weeks ago at youth group, we were talking about how God is creating us as individuals with different preferences of the things we like, and that it is a good thing to do that. But my message to the youth group was that perhaps maybe sometimes we treat things that are good and make them as though they are God. Maybe we are making good things God thinks. Reading this verse makes me realize one thing about myself, and that is the idols that I have in my own life. Being in my 20s, I seem to realize a certain idol that all of us love. I see all my friends, you know, as we grow up, we get better stable jobs, better prospects for the future. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe, just maybe, there is this most common idol, most seductive perhaps, in our world today. And that is the idol of financial security. If I was to be honest with you, one of the biggest fears that I've had for the past few years is that I don't know how on earth I'm going to get through adulthood and being able to afford everything that I need to do. How can I afford to live? How can I afford to get married? How can I afford to do all these things? I see the things around me, they require money and lots of it. I don't feel secure. It feels unknown. It haunts me how scary it is. But this passage today humbles me that I don't need to look at the world for security, because Jesus is an infinitely greater security. Other securities are simply fake idols. Jesus is our security. I don't need to look at the world as my security. As you ponder on this passage today, perhaps you're thinking of your own idols in your life. What are the fake idols in your life? What takes the place of God for you daily? Is it status? Is it others' approval of you? Guys, whatever it is, I want to invite all of us this morning, including myself, to take those things, to take those fake idols and present it before the Lord and burn them. I want to invite all of us today to kneel back at the foot of the cross and realize who's king, who's the real God, and that's Jesus. You see, he doesn't even need to compete with fake idols. God isn't only the best person to follow, he's the only one to follow. He's the only God there is. So Paul has made it clear that the gospel is first different news because it proclaims a different God. But thirdly, what I want to talk about today is what God wants us to do in response to him. So the gospel is not just different news that proclaims of a different God, but that this different God, this real God, wants us to respond in a different life. That's the third point, different life. Let's turn our attention to verse 29 to 31. I'm going to read this few verses together. "Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that a divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The gospel shows that humanity has worshipped our own man-made gods in ignorance of the one true God. And because of this, God has set aside a day, has appointed a day, where he will judge this ignorance. The gospel calls the whole humanity to repent because the day of judgment is coming. God will judge the world by Jesus, whom he has appointed and proven by resurrecting him from the dead. Unlike the world's call to live, you know, which is often like, follow your own heart, follow yourself, follow your own truth. The gospel here calls us to do something very different. To look outside ourselves and to follow not fake idols, but the real God. To turn our ways to the ways of God. The gospel is both warning and hope. Jesus is both our judge and our savior. God has proven this role by resurrecting Jesus from the dead. In his letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul explains that because Christ has been raised from the dead, we too will be resurrected. Paul and Jesus says that this resurrection is actually a resurrection of all people, including you, including me. But here is the catch. The resurrection of all people, there will be some people who will be resurrected to life, and some people will be resurrected to judgment. Jesus, who is Lord over all, will come back as judge over all. This is the hard question for today. Are we still being ignorant of the real God who created and is still sustaining you right now as we speak? Are you still clinging on to idols? Christ is our warning. God has appointed a day, a real day of judgment. How can we be prepared? We can be prepared by doing one thing, and that is to cling to Jesus, who God not only made judge, but savior of the world. You see, because of God's love, Jesus took the judgment of humanity upon himself when he died on that cross, and overcame it when he was raised back from the dead. He replaced us. He replaced our punishment. The Bible tells us that those who trust in the saving work of Jesus Christ and turn from their false idols to the real God, recognize their ignorance of God and turn from it, will be saved by Jesus. Do you want this hope? Trust in Jesus today, and you will be saved. If you have put your faith in Jesus, like most of us here, let us be reminded today and be humbled by this awesome passage that trusting in Jesus is actually a lifelong journey. Repentance is a lifelong journey. We are called to kill sin and idols daily, however big or small they are, lest they eventually kill us. We are called to deny ourselves for the sake of the gospel. You know, it seems hard sometimes and even impossible to do this, especially when we rely on ourselves. But why would we? Why would we rely on ourselves? We're not gods. We've been talking about this. God is God, and we are not. And this true God has given His Spirit to live in us, to transform our hearts and strengthen us daily to share the good news of Jesus in our mission. He has given His Spirit to enable us and strengthen us in this work. So guys, take heart. Take heart that the Creator of the universe is with us and in us as we share this gospel with the world. This different news of a different God, who is the real God, for an altogether different life. I want to close by reading these words from Isaiah 40, verse 25 to 26, that reminds us of the greatness of our God. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of His great power and His great might, not one of them is missing. Amen. Let's join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today, the opportunity of being able to still look at Your Word and learn from what You want to say to us, even though we're in this situation of lockdown. God, we thank You today that You've reminded us that Your news of the gospel is so different. It's so different to the world and what it offers to us. God, we're also reminded of how great You are, that You are not only a different God to what everyone's been telling us about, all these fake idols, but You are the real God. You're the real deal. God, I pray, would You help us daily to fix our eyes on this greatness of Yours and this uniqueness of Yours, that we may see the world and we may tell others of this greatness that You have. God, lastly, we know that You also want us to respond with a different life, a life not fixed on ourselves or our fake idols, but a life fixed on You and You alone, because You are the real God. So Father, I pray, would you help us this morning to burn our fake idols, to come back to You, and to be humbled by this passage once again, and to know that You are the real God. There is no one else to follow. You're not only the best person to follow, You're the only one to follow, because You are the real God and there is only one of You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for this time. I pray all this in Your mighty name. Amen.